And now, The Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray guest hosting. To call Phil, dial 855-500-7445. And now, Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, and I know this is a little bit of a surprise for a lot of you, for me to be guest hosting, although Phil has had on, in the past, people that have guest hosted on his program. But I demanded, and I'm going to be very clear on this, I want you to be very clear, I don't want you to think that Phil surrendered his seat as host of this program through any feeling of disinterest. I demanded to be heard tonight. I demanded from David G. Hall, who's the vice president of syndication, and does not have actual programming control. Phil does, and David will be on in a moment to explain that. I demanded that I be heard. And the reason why I demanded to be heard is because tonight, as it was indicated on the homepage of the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, where, by the way, you can watch me as I perform, if you will, or as I address the audience tonight by way of a video cast, we are on a slut hunt. Now,
what's that?
And what I told you not to say anything, didn't I?
You told me not to say anything, man. I'm sorry.
I told you not to say. A lot of you are used to hearing Bud and hearing Robert, and I said to both of them tonight, and I say that with great respect and love, I don't want either one of you saying anything to me except off the air. Is that understood?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't get to jump in and say the things you do usually when Phil is here. That's how he does it. I'm going to do it a different way. You understand that? Don't nod. Just
yes, ma'am.
There you go. Robert?
Yeah, I do.
General Galen Shaw, by the way, for those of you who have enjoyed his comments, and I have enjoyed them, I've asked the general if he wouldn't mind relaxing in our green room where we have a fireplace. We have a beautiful widescreen TV, and he is having a snack.
You want me to?
Yes, you can talk now.
He's having Nilla wafers.
Nilla wafers, what are those?
Well, that's vanilla wafer.
All right, so the general's having his vanilla wafers. Is that all he's having?
Yeah, he's having vanilla wafer, and then he has wine coolers that he likes.
Yeah, he likes bottles and James.
Yeah. See, I didn't ask, right. Thank you for both of your comments. I was talking to Bud, so you...
I'm sorry. I thought you wanted me to...
No, I don't want you to... When I look at one of you, that means...
Is there something wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. I know the audience is overhearing all of this, and I thought I'd made this clear. In any event, Melissa Bachman is a woman who, if you are looking at this photograph on the homepage of the Phil Henry website... Or you can go to just about any news source today. You're looking at a woman, I don't know, I'd put her in her 30s, with a high-powered scope rifle. She is sitting and resting herself against the dead body of a beautiful male African lion, a gorgeous gold-in-color African lion. A proud animal, a beautiful animal, far more beautiful than anything Melissa Bachman will ever be in her life, will ever create in her life, will most likely ever endear herself to in her life. This animal was, and let me underline the word, murdered by Melissa Bachman. I'm outraged, and I know a great many of you are. Now, I don't know Melissa Bachman, as my husband Frank likes to say. I don't know her if I were to trip over her in the dark. I wouldn't know her if she were screaming from the top of a burning building looking for someone to hold a trampoline or what they... What's the thing, Robert, that they use?
Well, it looks like a trampoline, yeah.
Well, it's not a trampoline.
Why not?
You're not going to have someone jump from a burning building onto a trampoline.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's like a...
Can I say something?
No, you may not. No. Go ahead.
It's like a net.
It's not a net either. It looks like a trampoline. But if it were a real trampoline, they would fall.
And they'd bounce back up to the top of the building.
Yes, they'd fall, hit the trampoline, and bounce to the top of the building, and they're right back where they started, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. So I don't think it is. But were Melissa Bachmann on top of a building, and it was on fire, and she was screaming for help, I would take as much time helping her as I would any slob. And I say that with great love and respect for all of my fellow men, but she doesn't have any special currency with me, as I'm sure she doesn't with you. She's a young woman, misguided, born and raised in Minnesota. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. I know a great many Minnesotans. They are wonderful people. It's a very progressive state. It's an agricultural state with a great business base in its large center, its business center, which is the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, a very populous metropolitan area. In the outlying regions, you have farming, the mining of mineral resources, fishing, and yes, for sport, hunting. And every young Minnesotan in some way, shape, or form is exposed to hunting and fishing as a part of the great, as they call it, great Northwestern tradition. Minnesota, as you may imagine, at one time represented the Northwest of the United States. We had not yet expanded to the Pacific Coast.
Really?
Man, she told you.
I told you.
Oh, sorry.
I told you not. So she grew up in this environment, and she's got that strike against her. Strike number two, her last name is Bachmann. I think we all know what that represents. It isn't good. It isn't progressive. It doesn't bring us together. It doesn't heal. It does not salve. It does not cool down. It does not ice down. What that name Bachmann does is inflame, infect, blister.
Smell.
Man, she told you to shut up, man.
If you don't shut up, I'm going to... But as long as you said it, Bud, I'll say it. Yes, smell. Stink. This is what this woman and that name has brought to our lives here in this country and elsewhere. Tonight, on The Slut Hunt, I'll be speaking with David G. Hall. Phil Henry will join me as well. My husband, Frank Gray, Dean Wheeler, Jack Armstrong, and other great voices, I think, of reason, that have appeared from time to time on the panel here on The Phil Henry Show. And we'll also take a modicum of phone calls from those of you in our studio audience, not our studio audience, in our listening audience tonight. I'm Margaret Gray. I am very, very grateful that you have tuned in this evening. I'm going to be using tonight for bumper music. I love this. I hope you do too. This is Glenn Campbell. By the time... We'll be right back here on The Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray filling in. I get to Phoenix. It'll be working. Oh no, it'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging. And welcome back here. This is The Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. I love this. Of the harbor. And I will be, this evening, I'll try to work in some songs that I think are appropriate for what we're talking about tonight. What we're talking about, and again, I am filling in for Phil Henry, not because he's sick, not because Phil is under the weather or is otherwise engaged. It's because I demanded, after seeing the picture of this female, this hunter, over the body of that gloriously beautiful lion, I went to David G. Hall and I said, I simply must be on the air this evening. And he did allow this to happen. Now, I have, in the offing, General Galen Shaw is joining us right now. He was in our green room, as I indicated, and the General was enjoying what...
Yes, I had vanilla wafers, Bartles and Jame, and I also love the graham crackers, but that's not the point.
Well, this is what we were talking about. I said to General Shaw, I hunted as a young lady.
Yes, you said you hunted as a young lady. And what firearm did you use?
I don't remember, General. It was a long gun of some kind.
Well, see, that's what I mean. If you can't even remember, was it a rifle or was it a shotgun?
It was a gun that... I'm not going to answer these technical questions. It was a long time ago. But I can assure you that I hunted as a young lady, as a girl, with my father. And I said to my father, I told the General this story, I believe we were out hunting some kind of a bird. It was dove or quail, something very, very much symbolic to me of innocence and purity. And I told my father that I would not do it.
Now, I want everyone to listen to this story because I consider this to be almost psychotic.
Yes, I know. You already said that.
I did not say it on the air, though.
Well, listen and see if you don't agree with me. My father said, let's go, Margaret, and hunt quail. And that's when I aimed the shotgun at his knee, not at his groin, as was reported.
Well, you know, I looked it up. I have to tell you, that is an absolutely antisocial, psychopathic thing to do.
No, you can't call me psychopathic when he's out murdering dove.
You said you aimed the shotgun at your father's knee.
Yes.
I heard that it was, and the very crude way that it was put to me by your husband Frank, because I talked to Frank, he said it was ball level. Now, what does that mean?
You know exactly what that means, and I won't repeat that. It's crude and rude and vulgar. And Frank, I know you're coming on the program. If you're listening, I'm very, very disappointed in you.
But let's talk about this. You refused to kill that. Your father directed you to kill a dove that was eating... what was it eating?
It was eating bird seed on a wall. And it was sitting there, and it had not attempted to fly away. And I had given it the bird seed.
And what did your father say?
He said, perfect opportunity. Now give it what for? And I said, Father. And he said, all right, let me show you how. Both barrels. Now, are you not supposed to eat dove?
I beg pardon?
Are you supposed to eat dove?
Yes, that's why people go dove hunting to eat it.
Well, and you're supposed to be able to have some kind of... Aren't you supposed to have some of the dove?
Well, yes. So what are you telling me, that your father unloaded both barrels and blew the thing into... there was no dove to speak of?
There were feathers. There might have been a beak.
You know something? You're making a big joke out of this. And I can tell you...
No, I'm not making a joke, General. I'm saying my father unloaded two barrels into a dove and then said, let's eat. And then went, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you know what? Take this, all of these shotgun shells. I love you, Father, but I want you to go ahead and pack these up your blankety-blank. That's when he slapped me. That's when I took his car keys and I ran home.
Well, you sound to me, Margaret, like a little girl that was very difficult to handle and antisocial in every way.
Why am I antisocial when I don't want to kill a dove?
It wasn't that you didn't want to kill the dove. It was that you lowered both barrels of a shotgun, and I'm quoting Frank, ball level.
Frank doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he said he got the story from you.
Well, he is lying to me. Lying to you, if that's what he said.
Well, best thing to do is get him on the phone.
Well, are you going to do that, Bud?
Can I talk?
Yeah, when I look at you, remember what I said.
She said, when she looks at you, you can talk.
Oh, okay.
When I look at you...
Yeah, but you looked at me one time, and I didn't say nothing.
Why are you saying something now?
Because you looked at me just now.
I looked at you, but I didn't look at you like, hey, Robert, I'm about to ask you something. I looked at you because you had your finger up... You had your finger up near your nose.
You know, Margaret, you're not going to get through this evening unless you just give people the right to go to the nose if they need to, go to an ear.
Really? What about going to the crack of their you-know-what? Because that's what this one's been doing.
I'm sorry. It was an itch that I was not aware of at the time.
Yeah.
It was an itch you weren't aware of. Oh, God.
Well, Miss Gray, please.
I'm not looking at you. I looked at him.
You're not looking at me, but I'm talking.
Yeah, well, I give you due respect because you're a member of the military. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get Frank Gray on the phone. Frank and I have been married for a great many years, 40 years, and I love Frank. And, Frank, darling, how are you?
Yeah.
Frank, we're talking about when I told you about I was out hunting with my father.
Yeah, with Ray, with my father-in-law.
Yes. And I said that I took the shotgun and aimed it at his knee.
Oh, that's not what I heard, Margaret, from you. You said you aimed it at her testicles, and that she was standing there, and you said, "Father, I know not what I do," or some kind of biblical bullcrap.
No, it wasn't biblical. I had written the line so that it would sound good because it was going to be a big moment in my life. I said, "Father, I dare not," something, I know it ended with a T-H, "Father, I doth not," that's it, "I doth not do what I shan't."
Oh, for God's sake. Margaret, I don't know what you said to her, but you said that you pointed it right at her testicles.
No, I did not. That is an absolute lie. You know that? Do you remember me saying that, or were you just assuming that because I lowered the shotgun to that area of the body?
Well, when you told me that you'd lowered the barrels, you said that you lowered them, and she's standing there telling you to go ahead and shake hands with that dove, and you were ready to, and then she said, "Go ahead, Margaret, shake hands with it," and you said that reminded you of the date you'd had with Barry Walker that night, right?
Yes.
And that's why you went ahead and pointed both barrels at her crotch.
No, that's no, you blithering, Frank, I love you, but you're a blithering idiot. No, I never said that. I said I pointed it at his knee as a gag, and I said, "Father, I doth not do what I shan't." And that's when I took the car keys and I ran.
So you weren't prepared to open up on her?
Of course I was. What are you, who do you think you married? And why would you marry me if you thought that that was a true story?
Well, maybe I liked it. Have you ever thought about that? No, you haven't given...
Are you kidding me?
I'm partially kidding, but by the same token, you can't reasonably tell me a story like that and expect me to feel good about you. I don't care if you didn't point it at her, at wherever you pointed it on her. Here's your father, and she's standing there. Your father is taking you hunting. And she's giving you the shotgun, and she's giving you everything that you would need. And she says, "Now go ahead, there's a dove, and it's eating that bird seed, perfect time to turn that thing, didn't you say, into dove tartar, or whatever it was?"
No, he said, turn it into tartar, not dove tartar.
So she says, "Go ahead, shake hands with it, and we'll put it on a piece of toast." And what happened? What happened was, you point the both barrels, not at the dove, but
at her knee. I mean, his knee.
Who?
At his knee.
Right, at her knee. And that's when you said you grabbed the keys and ran like a... Well, you said you ran like a bitch, and I said that's because you were. And that's when you hit me, playfully, though.
Well, what... All right, so in other words, Frank, I've got the story right. You don't.
I don't know half the time when you're telling me about... You gotta understand, General, every time he tells me something...
No, believe me, I can tell you, I've had my experiences.
Oh, you have?
Every time he tells me, I love him. He's a beautiful woman and a great wife. But every time he talks to me about his father and talks about how she took him hunting and she, you know, told him to turn the dove into something you can spread on toast or on a cracker, what did he say?
No, I said a wheat thin.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean a wheat thin? I don't understand this line of questioning.
What do you mean questioning?
I mean, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that his father said, "Go ahead, Margaret, shake hands with that dove," which is hunter talk, if you know, for blow that thing into another life.
Exactly.
All right. And then make that a nice, even spread. And I thought you said a Triscuit.
I never said Triscuit. I never said toast. I said wheat thin.
Oh, all right. So it was... All right, I understand.
Right. Not that it's a big issue, but...
Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, it doesn't... It's... Thank you very much, Frank. We have to take a break. In fact, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. My father, who I love... Does that answer your question, General?
Well, Margaret, it answers my question, but I still think that any time you drop a weapon on a man, as you did your own father, even if you are joking, I think it takes it takes a pair, even on a little girl, to do that, and I think you needed to have some kind of counseling.
Well, thank you very much, General, for your opinion, but as you well know, your opinion and 50 cents, it isn't going to get me across the street for a meatball sandwich. Thank you so very deeply. We'll be right back. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm playing some of my favorite hits that I'll be singing a little later on here on the program. This is The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore by the Walker Bras. By the Walker Brothers. I'm sorry, the Walker Brothers. Do-do-do. Welcome, everyone, back to the Phil Henry Show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and it is my great pleasure to... Oh, I love this song, too. Do you know this one? Walking with you, woo-woo. Anyway, we're going to do some singing later on, and I did, very briefly, I toyed with, as I like to do, as many of you know, and as I have said on this program, I wrote the song... In the Ghetto, that I was so very deeply honored that Elvis Presley performed. And I knew then that I had a hankering. I forget what the word, what is, Robert, I'm looking directly at you. What is the word?
You had a talent?
Yes, I had a talent for it. I was going to say something else.
Get a hankering for it.
I wasn't looking at you.
You know, I can't talk, man, unless she's looking at you.
Bud, hold on. Margaret, may I?
Go ahead.
Bud, only talk when she's looking at you.
She looked at my neck.
That's not looking at your eye. If I look at your neck, I'm not looking at you. Humans are looking at each other when they make eye contact. Eye contact.
Yeah, that is correct, Bud. It has to be eye contact. That's when we communicate with our eyes.
All right, well, she said looking at me. And technically, if you're looking at my neck, and I think you looked at my belly button or something...
I was probably lost in thought, and my eyes were wandering.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
So only if I make eye contact.
Well, it was close to my eyes.
Bud, are you listening to what I'm saying?
Bud, just do as she asks, and we can get out of this show tonight in one piece.
What does that mean?
Nothing at all. I'm not trying to say anything, Margaret. I'm trying to get us through this show tonight until Phil gets back.
Oh, until Phil gets back. Let me bring on David G. Hall. That's cute. That's very cute. David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show. David, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear it, and I do respect General Hall, and I think he's a terrific man. But General, I think you need to, as they didn't they say back when you were in Vietnam, flush out your headgear.
Sir, whatever they said, I can assure you it wasn't said by you, because I don't think I saw you over there.
Well, you wouldn't have seen me because I was only 8 years old. Oh.
Well, that may well be then, but the fact is, I think that kind of terminology is reserved for those of us who had our blankety blank in the grass, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think that's fair, General.
All right, well, look, what I want to address is what Margaret brought me on for, and that's why Phil Henry is not on the air tonight. It's not through any fault of Phil's, but Margaret felt very passionate about this woman, Melissa Bachman, who shot that lion, and she demanded... to get on the air, and I have to tell you, I was very impressed with her passion. I was very impressed with the need that she had to get on the air and talk about this issue.
All right, now may I ask a question?
No, not yet.
General, hold on.
Now, I called Phil, and I said if he'd like to come on the air and express his opinion, and he said yes, he would, and I said to him, I didn't anticipate that you'd actually say yes. I'd rather that you not. And he said whatever he said, and I said, okay, thank you very much. So he's not here.
All right.
Well, now, hold on for just a minute. That's not the same thing as a man saying, I don't want to be. Did he say he didn't want to be here?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's what David, in so many words, said.
No, he did not. David said that he called Phil and said, would you like to be on the air? And Phil said, yes, I would. And David said, I didn't anticipate you'd say yes. And then you said a few more things, and then he said, no, he doesn't want to be on the air?
That's exactly what happened.
Well, I don't believe that, sir. I think what you're doing...
Well, General, you know, I'm not going to open this up, for discussion.
You looked in my eyes.
I did by mistake. I did, oh, God.
Yeah, I get to say something. You're not treating Mr. Henry fair on account of everything.
Yeah, you did look in his eyes.
But I didn't look at your eyes, did I?
No.
Then how about clamming it up for me, Robert?
Sorry.
These guys, you can only talk when she looks at your eyes. Do you understand that?
She's not talking. When she's not looking at my eyes, I'll tell you that.
I understand, but you're a war veteran.
I do that out of respect to you, General. You can speak when you want to, but I'd appreciate it, because of your age, that you keep your comments as clear as you can and that you don't ramble.
Oh, I see, because I may ramble on and drool and generally make an embarrassing spectacle of myself because of my age. Is that it?
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
But you almost want... You want to say that.
What?
Never mind. Look, can I say something?
No, yes, go right ahead, please, because I know I won't get a straight answer out of any of you.
I'm saying this. I'm saying that Phil can come on if he, you know...
Okay, you just looked at me.
Yes, I did look at you.
Can I call Phil and have him come on?
David?
What are you doing? You know...
Aha, uh-huh, so you don't want him on because he may say something to embarrass you.
Okay, bring him on.
I'm going to call him up right now.
Yes, all right, so Bud's calling him, and you just said I'm going to call him up right now, even though I hadn't looked at your eyes. When are you two going to get the word on this?
It's kind of hard to remember.
What's hard to remember? If I don't look at you... Oh.
Yeah, Phil? Phil?
What did you do? Did you hang up on David?
Yeah. We don't need him. Phil? Hey, Phil, wake up. Bud, yeah. Gonna come on? Yeah, okay. Right now? Okay. Uh-huh. 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 Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Would you please put him on the air? Yes, Phil?
Yeah.
Were you asleep?
Yes, I was. I was taking a nap.
It sounds like you're in your car.
Yeah, now I'm in my car.
Well, when were you taking the nap?
Bud just woke me up a few seconds ago. And I said I gotta get in my car. I'm going out of the store.
Really? What are you buying?
I don't know. Maybe some cantaloupe. What do you guys want?
Well, I thought I'd give you the opportunity to explain...
Oh, I'm sure you've explained, Margaret. I don't have any, you know, I'm not going to be able to explain. You've probably explained it all to everybody that, you know, you're feeling very passionately about this bitch. You know that I agree with you on this.
I understand that you agree with me, but I think that I could more passionately express myself on this issue. And, of course, the other.
Oh, here we go. Because I was drinking tequila on Saturday night.
I don't know whether or not you are capable of going on the air today. That's all I'm saying. I think that these Saturday night drink fests may be wearing you down, and...
Well, they're not wearing me down. I was ready to go on the air. You called up David. He called me up. He said, you want to go on the air? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, you do. And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, no, you don't.
You see what I'm saying? You're babbling on.
No, that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly why he used that as an excuse to say that I, you know, am not on the air, because he said that I agreed to it when I didn't.
Yeah, I know I can do that, Phil.
Did she look you in the eye?
No, she didn't.
Yeah, you see what's going on here? Do you really want to be on the air tonight with these people not even adhering to my instructions?
Well, I don't give them those instructions, so they can talk whenever they want.
Well, I told him to only talk when he looks me, when I look him in the eye.
When he look you in the eye, that's when he can talk.
That's not what I said, when I look him in the eye.
Well, you're giving yourself more handicaps than you need. But you go ahead, you talk about this Melissa What's-Her-Face, and have a nice night. I just think that it's wrong that I wasn't given a chance. I don't know.
Phil, this is your opportunity to sit on your ass and do whatever you want tonight. I'm doing this show because I feel strongly about this and because I don't think you can handle the nuance of this. And I'm also able to bring to the program tonight a much-needed poetic feel by singing these songs.
Well, I don't think you're singing, Margaret.
Yeah, go ahead. If you want to lose the use of what little use you still have for it, go ahead.
Never mind.
Yeah. Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen, and boy, that was rude. God almighty.
Well, you let yourself in for it by, you know, putting him on the air.
I didn't let myself in for him saying that my singing and then quiet because he knew what he was about to say was... This is Margaret Gray. I'm talking tonight about this woman, Melissa Bachman, who shot the lion. She shot the lion because that's how she gets her kicks. She shot the lion because that's what makes her happy. She shot the lion so she could pose with the body of this dead, beautiful creature. She's a psychopath, and because she's a psychopath, she has no empathy. She doesn't know that people will hate her forever by posing with this magnificent animal, now dead, as she sits there with her braided hair and her high-scope rifle and her ugly necklace and her cheap tank top and her cheap underwater watch. And now I'd like to sing a song about her based on the song By the Time I Get to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, I'll feel guilty. I'll feel bad because I blew away that cat. Do 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 do, 2-3, 2-3. I'll feel bad. Well, you know how it goes, and we're still working on it, myself and Archibaldo Nimitz and Clarence Gomez. So we're going to have a, I think we'll have a very, very nice song by the time the weekend rolls around and we're able to roll it out for our, for the audience there at the Ham Hock. We're playing another set there. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. We'll be back with Harvey Wireman and others. Oh, we have Dean Wheeler as well, as we continue talking about the dead lion and this thing, this woman with the cheap underwater watch that shot the animal and now has a big crap-eating grin on her face because she gets her cheap kicks killing things. And this is Margaret Gray. I'm filling in for Phil Henry this evening on The Phil Henry Show. I'm very grateful that you've joined me. It's been an eventful first hour of the program. I think I've been in, or let in, if you will, for more criticism than is necessary. I did indeed request that I take this evening's show from Phil. My understanding was that he did agree to that. Now, what I just heard Phil say was a variety of things, all reflecting a general dissatisfaction with the state of affairs. I will do my very best, Phil. I will do my yeoman best to take care of your program this evening. I'm actually out of the corner of my left eye. I'm looking at you, bud, so you can say, what do you want?
Hey, you're only looking with one eye.
I'm using my left eye to look at a special on Lady Bird Johnson. And I'm using my right eye to look at you.
Well,
What is the problem? No. I don't have what's called wonk eye. No, I'm not.
You a walleye?
I am not a walleye. I resent that. I am paying attention. And by the way, I wasn't looking at you.
Robert, I was going to say, she wasn't looking at you.
Well, yes, she was. She had one eye looking.
I had one eye, not literally, but I'm looking at Bud and looking at the TV. I don't have three eyes. So that if I had three, never mind.
Margaret, I think you should let this go because it's loaded with jokes.
What has that got to do with anything?
It's loaded with jokes. You're going to have one-liners about you having walleye.
I don't have walleye. Never mind.
Well, you're looking at me, and then you're looking over at the wall. That's the walleye.
No, it's not walleye or fisheye.
I don't have either one. Let me tell you something. I had a cousin that had fish eyes. One eyeball went off to the... It skewed right. And it was something that... She was a very lovely girl, but I remember saying, thank God that isn't me. There but for the grace of God, go I. And she said, what do you mean by that, Margaret? I said, never mind. And I said, let's go off and play some volleyball, Goldie.
What's Goldie?
Well, for goldfish, but I didn't mean it.
Yeah, see, that's very bad.
That's dirty pool, and that's the kind of cruelty that children visit on each other.
All of a sudden, all three of you are talking, and I haven't looked at any of you.
What about if one eyeball did?
I don't... Thank you very much. Shut up. I want to bring on the program now Dean Wheeler. Dean is a very dear friend. He's been... I'll tell you this about Dean. He's been there when there's been no one. He's been there when there has literally just been no understanding voice from the left to see my way clear. He's talking to us tonight, as fate would have it, from the Pike Mall in Northern California as in the fish, Dean?
At the Pike Fish, as a matter of fact, that's right, and Emerald is with me, and we're doing a little bit of Thanksgiving shopping this evening, and it's looking to be a very good Thanksgiving. There's a lot of people here in the mall.
Dean, you know why I'm on the air this evening. Can you give me your impressions when you first saw that woman with the lion?
Margaret, I saw that picture, and I wanted to vomit. I wanted to vomit. I don't think that this is a political issue of right or left at all. I think this is a human issue.
Very well said.
It really is. It's an issue having to do with whether you are in favor of the lion or her. And I look at that picture and I'm torn because she's a beautiful young woman, but the lion is doing much worse than she is. I'm not prepared. I'm sorry. I knew that you were calling me, and I thought I was going to prepare notes, but then I thought I'd wing it, and my wife said wing it, and now I'm winging it. I don't think...
All right. Well, what do you mean, wing it?
Well, I'm ad-libbing, and it's not very good. Can I start again?
Yes, please do.
I'm sorry. I'm displeasing you.
No, just start again. Go ahead.
All right. When I look at the lion, and I look at her, and I look at the lion, and then I look at her, I want to like her... And I do. I like her physically, but I don't like what she represents with that rifle and that cheap look that she's got. You said that this was a slut hunt, and I was torn because on any given night, like any man in this country, a slut can be your friend or it can be your enemy. I don't know which she is. Now, the lion is laying there not saying anything. He's not speaking up for himself. You know what? I'm not ready to do this.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Wheeler.
I'm not ready to do this. I got to...
All right, that was Dean Wheeler, and that was a series of remarks delivered to us from the Pike Mall in Northern California. He said he was not ready to do this. I find that most embarrassing. Get him back on the phone, please.
Well, Ms. Gray.
Get him back on the phone, please.
Yeah, Dean, she...
I told you, I can't do it.
Yes, you can. You agreed to come on to the end of the hour. I've got 6 more minutes here. Now talk to me about this lion and this bitch.
I was...
What is wrong with you, Dean?
I'm scared because you're making me say things that I may not believe.
Are you a liberal?
Yes, I am, but that's got nothing to do with it. I think that it's none of my business. I gotta...
I know, you know, it's...
All right, you know what, never mind. I don't need him. I'm Margaret Gray. I apologize. What he has exhibited there, I think, is something that's happening around this issue, and that is that he has sympathy for this young woman, and to be honest with you, I don't know why. She looks like a cheap...
You know, Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier is called... I don't want to talk to Vernon Dozier, please. I don't want to talk to him.
Hello.
Vernon Dozier has called in from Belmar Academy. Vernon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I want to help you out here, Margaret, if I can. I understand that you have a...
Now, let's just say I don't need any help.
No. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
All right. You don't need help. Do you mind if I just insert an opinion?
Go right ahead.
All right. This woman here with the rifle, this Melissa Bachman, she shot a lion. Now, I understand that this lion was part of a controlled hunt. That means that the lion had already been captured and was released inside of a 60-square-foot area. So it was already, it was, if you will, the lion was a dead man. It was a dead lion walking, you know.
Dead lion walking. What does that mean?
You've heard a dead man walking?
No, I have not.
Dead man walking is when a guy is on his way to the gas chamber. Or now he's on his way to lethal injection, but he's on his way to die.
You're talking about a prison inmate?
Yes, prison inmate, yeah. And you call it dead man walking. They bring him on through and they'll say, dead man walking. Yeah, boss. Because I remember very vividly when I had been remanded for custody very early on in my life. It was a long time ago, I can tell you that. We were in transit. And I remember saying, standing in the yard out there near Clackerville, and they said, dead man walking, yeah, boss. And everybody just dropped to one knee and bowed, and here comes this guy. And
dropped to one knee and bowed? What are you talking about?
Down doing a dead man walking.
You've never seen a dead man walking?
I don't know. I have never witnessed this phenomenon of a man being led from death row.
Yeah. And we were in transit, and we got off the bus to stretch our legs, and they had some cheese sandwiches for us or something like that. We're up there at Plackerville, and I heard one of the bulls say, dead man walking. And then I heard another bull say, uh-huh. And then from the tower came another one going, woo. You know, they make a lot of noises, you know. And here comes now this guy, and everybody dropped down like the Emperor of China's coming by. And
well, did you?
No, I didn't know what the hell was going on. Everybody except me. I'm standing there eating a cheese sandwich. I don't know.
All right, well, that's an interesting story. Thank you very much, Vernon, for that. Basically, what he was trying to say was that the dead man walking phenomenon, not unlike what happened to this lion that was in this controlled area, was a dead lion walking. You see what I'm saying? So that was what he was trying. I think that's asinine.
You know, I think the show's getting away from you.
No, it's not. No, you haven't heard anything yet. I'm all over this like white on rice. I'll be back. I'm Margaret Gray. This is The Phil Henry Show.
You didn't walk it up to the post.
We'll be right back. Yes, I did walk it to the post. Well, almost.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's right, it's me, Phil. We'll talk about it, Margaret. And I'm back, and it's not that you did a bad job. It's that, are we all done with this?
You know what? You coming in here makes me look like I'm a complete and
All right, are you...
I just...
Was it understood that you were going to do the whole show?
You said that I'd have a chance to do the whole show, yes.
All right, I decided that I have to come in here and sit down because you're all done with this woman with the rifle, aren't you?
You made a big deal about this, Phil, on your Facebook page. I want everyone to know that, and I want everyone to know that you promised that I could do the show, and now you're going back on that, and I want everyone to know that you're just a big...
P-word?
Yes.
All right, well, that's not the first time I've been called that today, so...
Yeah, I know, because you were arguing with people today on Facebook about the Kennedy treason handbill or whatever.
Yeah, and you agreed with me.
That's what I think of that.
Oh, what a child.
You know, no, you're the child. No,
you're the child. You got your opportunity to do an hour on the air. You did your hour on the air.
I was told I'd do 3 hours.
Yeah, but Martin, you didn't do very good.
And this one here...
Well, what are you telling guys? Don't talk until I look you in the eye. How are people supposed to react to that?
By not talking till I look them in the eye.
Yeah, but on account of the walleye.
I don't have walleye. I said I was able to look at Bud and the TV.
Yeah, but that means that you have to have some kind of muscle imbalance with your eyes. If you're looking at him...
I was being... Was I looking at you, Bud?
Yeah, with a slit eye.
Yes, I had closed my eyes to a slit. So he didn't know what I was looking at.
Well, were you looking at him on the TV?
Yes.
She's able to do that.
Well, yeah, Phil, can I say something?
Go ahead, General.
Margaret has the ability, when she closes her eyes to a slit, to do kind of a snake eye thing.
No, it's not snake eye. I'm able to move my eyeballs independent of each other. You know, you get your big fat kicks, you let me come in here and you let me do the guest hosting, and then you come on and humiliate me and get your kicks.
Margaret, I don't mean to humiliate you. I think you did a great job with the hour. You talked about this woman. You made, I think, some very good statements that I happen to agree with, and that's it's done. And I said to David, yeah, he said, Margaret wants to talk about this gal with the lion.
Oh, this gal. What are we... Are we talking about someone that won a volleyball tournament? We're talking about a murderer.
All right, well, you know, I mean, that may be a little bit... Well, a little bit over the top, but...
You said she was yourself.
All right, you're right. Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. It's a very involved explanation, but and I think you did a good job. But now we're moving on, are we not?
And what are we moving on with?
George Zimmerman. You wanted to talk about George Zimmerman.
Yes, I was going to talk about George Zimmerman.
Oh, come on, Marty. You're not the Phil Henry show. Phil Henry is.
Yeah, Margaret. It stands to reason, Margaret, that the Phil Henry show would be with Phil Henry would be on it.
He said he was going to take the night.
Margaret, I'm sorry. All right, now I'm here. Do you want me to leave?
No.
I'll leave, and I'll let you do the last 2 hours.
Oh, how will that look, then? It'll look like I started...
Well, yeah, it'll look like she was bawling.
Shut up, bud. You don't want to do the last 2 hours?
Not now, no.
Maybe in a future...
Yes, we'll talk about it. You're making me look like I'm the bad guy.
If I preempted you, I apologize. I thought you were only going to be talking about this Bachman woman.
I was supposed to do all 3 hours, and you said, or at least David said you said.
Well, David, you know what David said to you. You heard him say that I asked Phil, and he said no. Remember, I said no, and he's twisting everything.
We'll talk about it, but I don't like being made to look like I'm being made to look as if I...
Yeah?
What do you mean, yeah? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Phil.
What are you going to say?
I'm saying to Phil, not you, I don't like being made to look as if I'm being made to look...
We already know that you don't want to be made to look like something. What is it that you don't want to be made to look like?
I don't want to be made to look like it.
Right. What don't you want to be made to look like?
I don't want to be made to look as if I am sitting here making people look. I'm trying to... Never mind.
I mean...
Like they're wall-eyed.
Yes, like they're wall-eyed. Like they're wall-eyed.
Like they're wall-eyed.
Just let it end there, Phil. Like they have...
Yeah, like the one eyeball on TV.
Can you really... Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you really, when you close your eyes to a slit, you can...
I'm not going to comment on it because the last time I did, you went... You love to cackle. That cackle of yours drives me ape. One of these days, Phil, I will not be responsible for my actions.
You know, you're the most dramatic person I've ever met.
You almost said woman, didn't you?
No, you're the most dramatic person I've ever met, male or female. Everything with you, drama. Everything with you. Tonight I said you can sing, and you can sing.
Well, now how's it going to look?
You already sang by the time I get to Phoenix, the lion will be whatever the hell it was.
Well, I haven't yet worked out the lyrics on that.
And you wanted to sing some other stuff, I'm going to let you sing. We have other things to do. If I misunderstood, if I said something that I shouldn't have said, if I've gone back on my word, I apologize, and I will make it up to you at some future date. I know you don't want to talk about it right now, but that's my promise to you.
I'll think about it.
Okay, fine. Check it out with Frank. You know.
Frank was all... didn't know what you were talking about.
Frank knew what I was talking about, you idiot. What are you talking about?
Don't call him an idiot.
Well, Frank knew what I was talking about.
No, he didn't. You're going like... when you were duck hunting or something with your dad.
I was dove hunting with my father.
I heard that story, okay? Can I ask a question? You're dove hunting with your dad. You lowered the shotgun barrels, pointed them at his crotch. Frank says that's what you said, and you say no, you didn't.
I said I pointed the shotgun at his knees.
At his knees. And your father saw a dove on a wall and said, shake hands with it?
No, he said, look at that dove. Let's make some dove tartare. And I said, whatever you say, Daddy Pooh, or whatever I said in those days. And he goes, all right, Margaret, shake hands with it. And that's when I swung the shotgun around and pointed it at his kneecap. And I said something like, how'd you like to walk like Festus from Gunsmoke?
You're kidding.
Well, I don't know what I said. And he's all, oh, gosh. And I grabbed the keys to his car and I ran.
And what did he do after that? What was the... I'd like to know, how did your father discipline that moment?
They sent me to that doctor that they usually send me to.
They sent you to what? So in other words, you were a troubled kid. You had some serious problems.
I didn't have any problems that other children didn't have, raised in the wealth and in the social strata that I was raised in.
So in other words, because you had money and your father had position and there was a social strata associated with it and you had this this birthright, you had naturally you had a problem where you're pointing guns at people.
What did you just say?
Phil, I have to agree with Margaret. That was just, it was a lot of babbling.
Did sound like some drooling.
Yes, there was drool there. Can I restate? When you drool...
What do you mean drool?
Well, what I mean by drool is when you begin to run on. Basically, what you're saying and what Phil's saying to you, Margaret, is because you were born rich, does that mean you're mentally ill?
I believe that that is absolutely the case. Every child that's born wealthy has some mental illness, of course. Of course they do. There's inbreeding. With the upper crust and the upper classes, they don't want a lot of the lower classes mixed in. So they'll naturally inbreed, and that creates a mental, a de facto insanity, which is normal. I don't think...
How can you sit there and talk that way? A de facto insanity, which is normal.
Ever heard of Jack the Ripper? Oh! Oh, so it's funny, huh?
That whole thing, we already cleared that up.
Yeah, you already cleared up. Jack the Ripper wasn't a king of England. He's just a regular guy that loaded boxes on ships.
The king of England? Boy, you are a mental case.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's get back. Let's do some more news besides the whole whatever it is we're talking about here. Besides the lion that is not only going to be sleeping tonight, but every night from here on out. Which I hate to say, and we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Thank you, Margaret, for doing the first hour. It was thoroughly enjoyable. I loved it. We're going to talk more about the lady and the lion and George Zimmerman and a bunch of other news. Phil Henry Show. Back to the Phil Henry Show. I've got some audio here that we'll roll for you. Oh, geez, I don't think I put it in a file. We have some audio. This is a 911 call. It was placed by George Zimmerman's girlfriend from, I guess, today. Zimmerman continues to be news because he continues to do things that run afoul of public perception. There's some people that want the guy to be left alone, and I believe that those people that want him to be left alone want him to be left alone so that he doesn't keep making people look stupid.
Well, he doesn't make anybody look stupid except himself.
Well, okay, but I think there comes a time when you have to recognize something about this guy. Whatever happened between him and Trayvon Martin, notwithstanding, and that will be a point of contention forever, it's obvious that this guy's very quick to pick up a gun in just about any situation. He's got a shotgun. The cops arrested this guy. Listen, here's the 911 call.
Are you serious?
911, police, fire, medical.
I need police right now.
Okay, what's your address?
You're the one that's breaking stuff in my house.
Ma'am. What's going on?
He's in my house breaking all my stuff because I asked him to leave. He has his gun breaking all of my stuff right now. No, this is not...
Okay.
I'm doing this again? You just broke my glass table, you just broke my sunglasses, and you put your gun in my face and told me to get the f*** out, because this is not your house. No, get out of here.
Okay, what is your name? Okay, where's his weapon at?
She just put it down.
Okay, and this is 13.
No, get out of my house. Do not push me out of my house. Please get out of my house. You're gonna... Are you serious right now?
I'm sorry.
Kidding me? He didn't push me out of my house and lock me out.
Okay, you're outside now?
Yeah, he locked me out of my house.
Okay, what's your phone number? Okay, I've got units on the way. Is there some place safe that you can step away from?
He has everything of mine inside.
Okay, I want you to step away from the door, okay? I don't want you anywhere near him. I know you're frustrated.
Dude, he knows how to do this. Okay, he knows how to play this game.
Okay. I need you to calm down, okay?
I'm next door.
Okay, you're next door. Which, if I was facing the house, are you to the house to the left or to the right?
To the left. They'll see his truck in my driveway.
Okay, what's your last name? Okay, and what happened today? What made you guys start fighting?
I asked him to leave.
Okay. Has he been drinking or anything?
I think he just walked out front.
What's he wearing?
Jeans, dark jeans, and a gray t-shirt.
Okay, what kind of gun did he have?
He has his, the gun that he just smashed on my stuff with was the Caltech, the shotgun.
It's a shotgun or is it a handgun?
That's a shotgun.
Does he have it with him now?
Well, he's in my house. He has all of his guns inside. He just unloaded the shotgun and his AR, but he took that case to smash my table and smash my sunglasses and smash whatever he's smashing in there right now while I'm outside.
Okay, so he had a shotgun and an AR-15?
Yeah, and two handguns. I have my house key.
Okay, I want you to stay away from the house right now until we get there. We need to defuse the situation. Are you injured?
No.
Did he put his hands on you or anything?
He pushed me.
All right, so there you have and a little bit of Jethro Tull there at the beginning.
Yeah, what was that?
I'm sorry, that was being played off of my iTunes player. But so there you have the latest installment in the adventures of George Zimmerman. Now, the way things work in the modern day of instantaneous information, generally, everybody politicizes everything now. You can't just, in other words, I've even had conversations with people who say, well, you know, the scientists are prejudiced. Prejudiced against what? If you're a scientist, the only thing you're prejudiced in favor of is the truth or facts. Facts. Well, but you see, if they come up with facts that go against the prevailing acceptable attitude, they must be prejudiced. If they come up with the theory that increasingly is supported by the evidence that they are finding in the field that evolution or some kind of an evolutionary process took place, why, they're biased against the contemporary vision of a creationist world. They must be biased. They must be anti-religious. They, you know, never, ever are these guys given the benefit, a scientist, of saying, well, he's a scientist, he's just looking at the facts as they come in. Yes, but you see, he's secular, so therefore he has no God influence, so therefore he's naturally going to be wrong because God is not guiding him. All right, so it is with every other kind of information that we've got.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Phil, I think you're going over the heads of people, and this is what concerns me.
What am I doing that's going over the heads?
I'm going on and on and on and on about ending the scientist.
Yeah, Bud. See, Bud's got it.
Yeah. Yes, you see, if you're a scientist...
Okay, I get it, Bud.
No. Wait a minute. If you're a scientist, why then... Yeah, Bud, go for it, man. Yes, if you're a scientist, you see...
You have to admit the boy has a way. He's very theatrical.
Get out of here. I hear you, okay?
That's what you're doing. You're all like, yeah, hey.
Okay, sorry, man. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is the following thing. George Zimmerman is an animal that should be put in a... I would have said this had I been given the 2 hours remaining to me.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to say this. I had 2 hours remaining. All right, fine. I misunderstood. You've taken back those 2 hours. Whatever. But I will say this. Had I the 2 hours remaining to me, I would say George Zimmerman has outed himself as a gun freak. There's no question now that he loves waving weapons in people's faces. Apparently, George Zimmerman doesn't go anywhere without some firearm that he can wave under someone's chin or in their face. Here is an argument with a girlfriend. Everyone knows any dumbbell with a gun, any man who's had any history of domestic violence will tell you that the worst thing you can bring into an argument with a domestic partner, a wife or husband, is a gun.
Well, that goes without saying, especially if they're... And they asked, had he been drinking, and he said no, thank God. But the guy was with a shotgun. Now, let me read the story here, because... You know, as Margaret said, we're not making this stuff up. Where the hell are we going here, man? Where's Google? There it is. George Zimmerman arrested after his girlfriend alleges he threatened her with a shotgun.
Now, I have one more... What?
I wanted to say one thing, Phil, that the young lady that made the 911 call said that he knows how to do this. Now, I don't know what she was talking about, but...
Jack, talking about how he can call 911 good.
He can call 911 good?
Well, yes, because she's calling 911, and they're blowing her off.
What do you mean 911? You talking about 911?
Yeah, I mean 911.
You're right, 911, and they're blowing her off.
They're not blowing her off.
Well, it sounds to me... But then Zimmerman is the guy everyone takes seriously because he's the man. And, of course, the first thing you want to ask yourself is, what did she do to piss him off?
See, that's what I call very, very biased interpretation.
What did she do? Look, here's the story. Just everybody be quiet for a minute. George Zimmerman's being held without bail on charges he threatened his girlfriend with a shotgun. She was very specific. She said he pushed her out of the house, that he had a shotgun. Zimmerman was taken into custody Monday afternoon following a disturbance call at a home in Apopka, Florida, about 15 miles from Orlando, according to Chief Deputy Dennis Lemma of the Seminole County Sheriff's Office. In July, Zimmerman was acquitted of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. In a 911 call released later Monday, Samantha Scheib told police that Zimmerman had smashed a glass table, broken her sunglasses, and pointed a shotgun in her face. "You put your gun in my freaking face," she is heard telling Zimmerman on the call. "Get out of my house. Do not push me out of my house. Please get out of my house." Seconds later, she can be heard telling the dispatcher, "He pushed me out of my house and locked me out. He knows how to do this. He knows how to play this game."
Bingo, right there. Those are the magic words. He knows how to play this game. Zimmerman has manipulated, and that is a very...
Yeah, that right there said he killed Trayvon Martin.
Why do you say that says he killed Trayvon Martin?
Because she's saying that he knows how to manipulate it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Well, of course you would. I mean, all of you people would, because you're all you all want to indict and tar and feather and everything else. But I'm just saying that this man was waving a shotgun in someone's face. Yes, he should go to jail, but that doesn't mean... that he's not a man I wouldn't sit down with and break bread and have a beer and invite over to my house to look at my firearm collection. And
okay, all right, General, hold on. We're going to be right back here.
Well, what are you blowing me off for?
Because you're starting to go out. We'll be right back. We have to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. General Galen Shaw. General, you can pick up your point when we come back, okay?
Well, all right, but I just...
Yeah. Fine. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why am I not allowed?
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Welcome back. Again, thank you, Margaret, for the first hour of conversation about Melissa Bachman. Not Michelle, Melissa Bachman, the woman who was photographed with the dead lion. I think the thing that got everybody about the lion was the look on that the lion looked. I mean, there she was with a lion laying there dead, and the lion's face, I mean, his eyes are closed. He looked like he was in repose, like he was sleeping, but he was, in point of fact, dead, and he looked beautiful in death, and you know that were he alive, he wasn't going to be letting anybody with a rifle, because what do lions know, lean against him with a big crap-eating grin having their picture taken, so... It got a lot of people rocking and rolling this weekend talking about it. Now, we're rapping here about...
Rapping.
Yeah, ma'am.
Sorry. We're talking. It's a word from, you know, from my ute.
Yeah, well, we used to say we're rapping. What's wrong with that?
No one says that anymore. No one says that.
Yeah, I'm talking about jawjacking or something like that.
Jawjack. Anyway, we're talking here about George Zimmerman... arrested after his girlfriend alleged he threatened her with a shotgun. Now, in the 911 call released later on Monday, as we mentioned, she said that he had put a shotgun to her face, that he'd broken a table, that he'd broken her sunglasses, and then, in a moment of supreme irony, pushed her outside of her own house and then called 911 himself, even as the police were on scene. And this is after she made a rather prophetic, well, not prophetic statement, but she made a statement reflective of events past and also prophetic in what followed. She said, he knows how to do this. He knows how to play the game. After police arrived on scene, Zimmerman then placed his own 911 call. He said, quote, "I have a girlfriend who, for lack of a better word, has gone crazy on me." He said that he never pulled a gun on his girlfriend and that it was Scheib who smashed a table at the home. He also told the dispatcher that she was pregnant with their child and that she decided she would raise the child on her own. When Zimmerman started to leave, she got mad. When the dispatcher asked why Zimmerman had called 911 instead of talking to the police officers who were outside the home, he said, "I just want everyone to know the truth." Lemma told reporters, this is the sheriff, that the girlfriend told police she is not pregnant. At a news conference, Lemon said Zimmerman has been charged with aggravated assault, battery, domestic violence, and criminal mischief. No injuries were incurred, and Lemma said no one other than Zimmerman and Scheib were at home at the time. The victim indicated that she and George Zimmerman were having a verbal dispute, and at the time she alleged that he had broken a table and pointed a long-barrel shotgun at her. She told police Zimmerman pushed her out of the home and barricaded the door with furniture as she called 911. She's shaken up over the incident.
Well, that just proves to me that this guy is, he's a liar, and...
No, why do you say he's a liar?
What do you mean he's a liar?
He lied about Trayvon Martin, and there he is setting up lies about this.
Well, he said, according to the sheriff now, he told them that she is the one got angry when he was leaving.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, anyway. Since the acquittal, Zimmerman has had several run-ins with law enforcement. I mean, you know, how... I gotta tell you something. I have never seen a more deluded bunch of people than they got allies like Phil Henry. You know, I'm a gun rights advocate. But because I happen to have liberal views on other items, they discount that. They throw that support away. And they throw their support behind a guy like this, who does not deserve it. If you want to talk about gun rights, why don't you support someone who has a legitimate claim to those and a legitimate grievance? This guy Zimmerman ain't the guy. And why it is they wanted to throw all of their love behind this slob is, I don't get it. Now here he is, free as a bird, after gunning down this kid. He's a liar, because according to the police, not her, the police, he's telling some story about how she, and the cops, you know, look, they arrested him after hearing what he had to say, which was the following thing. I didn't point a gun at her, and she got angry at me as I was leaving. So, you know, I'll tell you, when George Zimmerman is finally going to be, the public will be safe from this guy is after he kills somebody else. He's going to have to kill somebody else, and then maybe, just maybe, all of his fans, all the people that gave him all that love during that trial are finally going to wake the hell up. But he's going to have to kill somebody. Here he is waving this gun around. He's got a shotgun under the chin of a woman he's living with. He'll blow her head off, and then we'll see. And even then, people may say, well, you know, she might have deserved it. Maybe she provoked him. I mean, let's take a look at it. It's unbelievable. This guy is, I've never seen a guy who has been caught red-handed with a gun as many times as George Zimmerman, and every freaking time, and the people he's going up against do not have weapons. He's got a kid that's walking down the street with Skittles. He's got a girlfriend. You know, and he's got, in each instance, a weapon himself, and everyone wants to feel sorry for this punk. Everybody wants to talk about how he's not getting a fair deal, and this poor guy is in fear of his life. I'm telling you, you know, here's a guy who looks like a substantial human being, and he's armed, and everybody's just so worried sick about little Georgie Zimmerman, about maybe he's going to get his ass kicked. Maybe he needs to have his ass kicked. I guess that ain't going to happen, though, because Georgie's always come, he always comes packing, man. Either he's got a handgun or he's got a shotgun. And not only does he have a firearm, he's going to blow you away with it. And he walked once because he got all the love of all of, I don't know who the hell it was that was supporting this guy. These people that loved on George Zimmerman, I don't know who they were. I don't know what their reasons were. I have no idea, man, because I heard the same evidence that they heard. And, yeah, I heard all about that jury, man. I got a jury for you, OJ's. You want to believe that one, too? Well, OJ, you know, it's an amazing world we live in.
Well, don't get all upset now, because you're going to start giving a speech.
Yeah, you already have started giving a speech.
What's this? Serial killer's secret photos. Let's check these out.
Yeah, well, I don't see this.
Get out of there, will you? So anyway, that's the latest in the George Zimmerman saga, man. What a whack cat that guy is. The other story here is Rob Ford, and I wanted to tell everybody about that, Margaret.
Well, there's a phone call on the George Zimmerman thing, and then, yes, I want to speak about Rob Ford, because Rob Ford ran after and almost beat an old woman to death.
Wait a minute, man. I saw that.
He didn't almost beat an old woman to death. He walked, and he's got a wide girth, and he tried to get around her and wasn't able to do it.
No, that's not what I saw.
That's what I saw. Yes, sir. Austin, go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, I wanted to talk to Margaret Gray and ask you if you think that George Zimmerman, if he was confronted by his girlfriend, and I've had a girlfriend that has confronted me, and you're confronted by a female, does that necessarily mean that you don't need a gun? And
what is your question?
My question is, just because she's a female, does that mean George Zimmerman does not necessarily need a gun? Are you saying that a woman cannot deliver deadly force, and what Zimmerman would need to protect himself?
What was he protecting himself from?
I don't know, but the girlfriend, he said that she went crazy on him, and I've had women go crazy on me. I've tried to say to women many times, I'm done with you, I don't want to see you no more, and they threaten to kill themselves, and they threaten to jump out of a window. And
were they threatening to jump out of a window? Why?
Because if you say to a woman, some women, you know, a lot of women, I'll say, okay, I don't feel it anymore, and I want to move on. And they threaten to throw themselves in front of a train.
Are you talking about women that are commit suicide because they don't have your love anymore?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've had that happen to me all the time. You know, just
because you're what, sir? Your name is what?
What?
What is your name?
My name's Austin.
And are you that much of a stud?
I didn't say that I'm that much of a stud. I just said that, well, to the women I've been with, I'm that much of a stud. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't. They want to be with me. They want, and they always throw. Women are always coming up to me and saying they want to live with me and move in with me. So I say, all right, go ahead and move in with me, and we live together, and we'll do whatever comes natural. Have sex. Have sexual relations. And then I'll naturally, like a lot of men do, I'll say, okay, I'm gonna move on now. I'm done with this. And they'll say, no, you won't. No, you won't. And I had one girl say she would jump out of a third floor window on her head. Another one was going to throw herself down on a railroad track right over here where the Santa Fe comes through on its way to Los Angeles. It's the Starlighter. And I had another woman. She wanted to run gas. In fact, she asked me to help her. She was going to run a rubber hose from the gas vent in the stove all the way up the bedroom, and she didn't know how to do it. I got to go over to Home Depot and get, I don't know, 60 feet of rubber hose. And
what are you doing that for?
Why would you do that?
Because she's going crazy on me. And
you're going and getting rubber hose to help her kill herself?
No. She said that's what she said she wanted to do. And I didn't want her to do it, but she's going crazy and everything. And she's saying she loves me and everything. She says, now go get that rubber hose from Home Depot, and then I don't know where the gas jet comes in.
Well, then you're helping her kill herself.
No, ma'am. No, I was not. I was just helping her rig the hose up. But,
So what's your point here, pal?
Is this Mrs. Gray, or?
This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, Phil, how you doing? I love your show, Phil.
Thank you.
I want to ask you one more thing. Are the T-shirts that you have for the Teds of Beverly...
All right, let's take a break here.
Well, he was going to ask you a question.
Yeah, about Teds of Beverly Hills.
Yes, but then I think he had a question for Margaret.
Well, that's fine, but you know what? After he got done telling me about how he had to go down to Home Depot to get the rubber hose to help her run it up from the gas stove to the bedroom so she could kill herself, it didn't add up anymore. I might as well be listening to a George Zimmerman 911 call. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Rob Ford, and now that story is starting to get really interesting. This guy apparently was just waddling along today there in Toronto and almost bowled over someone. As he waddled to try to reach somebody, he almost bowled over someone, and it made a big, big freaking stink up there. Phil Hendry Show. Anybody watching Phil TV right now, I didn't mean that last slide. It was just the one that came up.
that was absolutely insulting.
What was it?
It was one of me flipping a bird. I didn't mean that personally. I just, you know.
It must have been a very... When did you have that taken?
He had that picture taken, General, when he was in an angry frame of mind one night.
Yeah, back when everything was going to hell in a handcart.
That's right. Bud's right. He's got that one right. Back when everything was going to hell in a handcart.
Well, are things better now?
You better believe they're better now. Oh, my God, are they better now. All right. So, Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto. Now, somebody today sends me this. Did you see this thing?
Yes, I saw it, and I was torn. It looked to me as if he was trying to what you call in football, General. What did you call that?
Well, there's a term in football called pancaking.
Yes. It looked like he was trying to pancake that elderly woman against the partition there.
Pancaker?
Yes. I know what you said. It looked to you as if he was trying to hold her up. But I think he ran into her and tried to do one of those sliding pancake moves. And then when he realized the camera was on him, he went, oh, wow. You know, I didn't mean to run into you.
Yeah, that probably, it seems that way to me, too.
What is it with everybody looking to find the worst in people? You know?
Well, Phil, this guy is a crack cocaine user. He's a dime a dozen scumbag. You want to give this guy a break? Well, you're nuts.
Wait a minute. It's not that I want to give the guy a break. I want to know what... Again, here we are again. What are the facts? What is the truth? Isn't there anybody in this world interested in the truth?
All right, Diogenes. Why don't you go ahead and tell us where the truth is?
Why do you got to be sarcastic about it? Aren't you interested in it?
Yes, I am, Phil, and I hate seeing these politicians get away with murder. I think this tub of guts, excuse me for saying that.
Well, let's start attacking the guy's weight. I knew that had happened. You know, as soon as this guy got into the news, the first thing is he's a ball of fat. He's donut oil.
Well, you got to admit, man, the guy's like 300 pounds of donut oil.
Yeah, you got a guy with a donut oil.
Well, what about that, Phil?
Don't you want to say anything about donut oil?
Well, I think the two of them have said it. But you've got a guy there who's 300 pounds.
Of donut oil?
Yes. And as Margaret said, did a rolling pancake. And when you, with all due respect, are 300 pounds of donut oil, and you're trying to make a rolling pancake out of an old lady, there's something wrong with that. Just wrong.
I watched that videotape, okay?
Well, don't wave your finger at me, Phil.
I'm waving my finger at just everybody. I watched that videotape. That man did not run into that woman on purpose. He was obviously in a hurry to get over to, he said, his brother Dan, and by accident ran into her and tried to break her fall, and in point of fact did break her fall, and lifted her up. And the commentators, those Canadian commentators, I got to tell you something. I don't know what the story is in Canada, man, but I hope that isn't an example of the way they cover news, because right off the bat, those people wanted to turn that in. They wanted to sensationalize it right off the bat.
Yeah, they all said as soon as he hit her, they're going, oh, he attacked an old lady.
I heard that. I heard that woman say, one of the people say, he attacked an old woman. Embattled Mayor Rob Ford vowed outright war after Toronto City Council voted to strip him of most of his powers Monday in a tumultuous meeting during which a charging Ford knocked down one of its members. Nearly 2 weeks after Ford admitted to smoking crack cocaine in a drunken stupor, an admission forced by a drug probe that resulted in extortion charges against a friend. What? The mayor said he was done apologizing. He called Monday's vote a coup d'etat.
What's that mean?
A coup d'etat is an illegal decapitation of the government. A coup d'etat is like a takeover. It is it goes against the rules. It goes against the law. It goes against the Constitution. It's generally exercised by a more powerful force, and they just come in and they just take over. It's like the military does that in a lot of these third world countries. They just have a coup d'etat. They say, you know what? This civilian government isn't working. This democracy stuff isn't working. We're going in. We're the military. I mean, Egypt.
Well, but they had to, Phil. That was, I wouldn't call that a coup d'etat. And again, that is French, and I wish you'd...
Wish I'd what?
Well, I wish you wouldn't mangle it, for God's sake. The coup d'etat, you know, you just do it good.
What do you mean, do it good?
He's doing it all... It's coup d'etat. Give it a little something, anything. Give me a reason to want to sit down in this place.
God, Margaret, I mean, you know, this is not, we're not in France. This is America.
I know, but give me... Just give me the illusion that I'm sitting with people of culture. The coup d'etat.
What?
What? Phil, I swear to God, I know you're an educated man, but sitting with you is like sitting with some lummox that just got out of his truck and he's ordering up a nice, big, tall, frosty Pabst.
That's me. I don't deny that. You know...
You drink Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Oh, come on, Phil. Please tell me you don't drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What's wrong with Pabst Blue Ribbon?
What? Probably tastes like pee, don't it?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've had one. I think I'm going to have a Pabst Blue Ribbon. I think I'm going to have about 6 Pabst Blue Ribbons this weekend. I'm going to drink a bunch of Pabst, and I'm going to give you the report. I'll bet you it tastes damn good. I'll bet you it's one of the better beers. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Better you than me.
Yeah. All right. Nearly 2 weeks after Ford admitted to smoking crack cocaine, he said it's a coup d'etat, and he compared it to Iraq's invasion of Kuwait in 1990, warning council members, what goes around comes around, friends. God, this guy is he's almost thuggish, isn't he?
Well, it sounds that, yes, like that. Who was the man in Chicago, Blasingame?
Yeah, that guy, Rod Blagdegame.
Blagvinovich, I thought. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, it was that guy, Rod Blagdevich. And he was the, wasn't he the governor?
He was the governor. He was the governor. I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't? I know exactly who it was. He was the mayor, or the governor, I forget. Rod Blagdevich.
You remember exactly, huh?
Well, I remember it better than you, clowns. It was,
I remember there was a large constitutional issue in Illinois over this guy, and he had, oh, I know what it was. He was selling the Senate seat. He was selling influence. He was basically selling that Senate seat, right?
Well, which is it, Phil? You'd be selling the Senate seat.
I think Phil's right. His name was Rod Blagojevich.
What was it?
It was Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, that is it.
Oh, you guys are high. You're shooting blanks here.
What?
What do you mean we're shooting blanks?
I mean, you're spray shooting here. It's, Rod Blagojevich, I don't know.
Yeah, real good, Phil. I was closer to it than any of you knuckleheads. Rod Blagojevich. Now I forgot.
Anyway, this guy here, Rob Ford, at least in Canada, they got names that...
No, they don't, man. I went up to Canada one time. They got a whole bunch of Polish people in Canada.
Do they have names you can't pronounce?
Yeah, they pretty much. Ain't you never seen the Canada Hockey League? They got all kinds of goofy names.
It's not the Canada Hockey League, you nitwit. It's the National Hockey League.
No, no.
Yes, it is. They have a lot of Canadian players, and they got a lot of weird names.
Yeah, what's that one guy's name? It's Thula.
Yeah, they got that guy's Theory.
What?
All of you guys really ought to be shipped off to some camp where you're going to learn how to eat with a knife and fork.
All right, we'll be right back here. Don't look at me when you say that. I'm trying to do the best that I possibly can with what I done got. Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back here, and we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's Rod Blagojevich. Sorry,
I forget.
I don't remember it either.
All right, be right back.
I don't know.
Welcome back here to the final hour of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And I no sooner was I talking about drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon this week, and I got texted a can of Pabst, not the beer, but a picture of one.
Yeah, it almost looks like you could drink it.
It does. It's a very cool picture. Thank you, Layla, for sending that to us by way of our Facebook page. And that can of Pabst you see there on the homepage...
was sent to you by this young lady?
Yes.
Is this the one that's named Layla?
Yes. And,
And was she named that because of,
Yes, I think so, probably. You know.
You know that song, Bud?
I'm familiar with it, I mean...
Yeah, because What are you looking at?
Do you want to sing a song?
Maybe. What's your problem?
I don't know, I just...
Well, Margaret, I think we'd love to hear you sing a song. Excuse me.
Why are you doing that, General? She does it.
Because he feels free. There, I just almost did it too. He feels free to do it. Free to do it.
Every time you pound your hand on the table, it reverberates through the...
I apologize.
Microphone. Okay.
But you know the song. The song, Phil, if you don't mind.
Yeah?
Was about George Harrison's girlfriend. All right, forget it.
No, I mean, the story is interesting. It was George Harrison's girlfriend that Eric Clapton fell in love with.
Yeah, it's a baby boomer story.
Yeah, it's a bunch of old people stuff.
It is. But I got to tell you, and as I've often said, George Harrison is one chilled out guy to let some cat fall in love with his girlfriend. He's like, oh, whatever, you know.
Well, he was a Beatle. What big deal, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Ellie, dime a dozen.
Well, I think that's a hell of a way to view a woman's favors. A young lady that is offering her favors to you to say, well, you're a dime a dozen.
Well, he was a Beatle.
I understand that he was a Beatle. To what extent that gives you, that allows you free range to roam all over a woman as if she's nothing more than a prairie and you're a steer squatting wherever. I find it to be very insulting and not very kind to women.
Well, a steer not going to squat.
What's that?
Steers don't squat.
Well, whatever, bud.
What do you know? Hold on, what do you mean steers don't squat? Is a steer an animal?
Yes, a steer is an animal, General.
Well, I'm asking Dickman. What do you mean steers don't squat?
Steers just stand.
When they urinate, yes. But are you telling me that a steer doesn't go off and find someplace?
What?
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. I get tired of being preempted on this program. Now, I've got a very good question. I said to you, and to the three of you, and to the four of you, do I make five?
Yes, we're four, and you make five.
All right. I said that I felt it was wrong for anyone. I don't even give a sweet you-know-what if it was one of the Beatles. Who had this girl and decided, well, I'm a Beatle, so I'll just pass this woman on to another man. And I think that that's very insulting.
All right.
Hold on for a minute. Now, I said, a woman is not a prairie to be wandered over like you're a steer, squatting wherever you want, and then this guy here, Dickman, that you know I've had a problem with from day one...
That's too bad. Steer don't squat.
See what I'm saying? Why don't you put that on a bumper sticker? Steer don't squat.
Because that's wrong.
Well, General, you gotta admit, if a man finds you wrong, man got a right to be a man.
I think a man should be a man.
This is not exactly a test of manhood, whether steers squat or not.
No, that's not the test, but it's whether the information is correct. And you're trying to tell me that a steer, like any animal, if it has to have to drop one, it won't go off and find a private area?
What are you talking? Why would a steer need privacy?
Have you ever seen a cat take a dump?
Yes.
Don't they look for privacy?
No.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. They bury it, that's right.
Yeah, they bury it. Cats have that. That's what they do.
And dogs don't.
And so you think steers do?
I was given to understand that steers dig a hole. You think that's funny, huh, laughing boy? Have you ever were you ever on a dude ranch? Well,
were you on a dude ranch?
No, I was not on a dude ranch. I wouldn't go to a dude ranch. But I had the opportunity to work a ranch.
Well, did you?
No, I said, because they called it a dude ranch, and I wouldn't degrade myself.
What is a dude ranch?
A dude ranch is like a guy's not a cowboy.
Yeah, it's where guys that ain't cowboys go and pretend.
Oh, well, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to some dude ranch like some guy that wears his pants up to his neck and his wife drops him off with a brown bag with a sandwich and a bot, God knows what, with a sandwich with God knows what's between the bread, and then he's got a bottle of something, you know.
All right, I mean, I understand. I wasn't City Slickers about that?
Yes, yeah, City Slickers was about a dude ranch and so on, but the general there is saying that he never worked a ranch, but if he were to work a ranch, it'd be a real ranch. But then you haven't, General, have you?
No, I have not.
And neither has Phil.
All right, but here's the thing. We're talking about the Beatles, right?
Yes.
All right, so who cares whether a steer digs a hole before it takes a dump? You know, I mean...
It would be kind of interesting to find out.
I can assure you, having never worked on a ranch, having never been on a dude ranch, having never been on a cattle drive, having never worn a cowboy hat while I was working, maybe I wore a cowboy hat for laughs, no steer digs a hole and craps into it the way a cat does.
And you know that how?
Come on, I've seen steers crap. I've been on horses when they take a dump. A horse just doesn't even stop. Horse just keeps on walking, man. Same thing with steers.
So you're telling me a steer goes ahead and relieves itself that way and doesn't give a sweet damn?
That's right.
I think that is... Mister, you better be prepared to back that up.
What is it with you, General? Are you serious or something? I mean, you know, is that hard to believe?
I'm just telling you what I've heard.
I think a lot of guys are yanking your chain, man. I want to get back to, I want to get back to Rob Ford. Rob Ford, allegedly, according to CNN, and this is the mayor of Toronto, who I was perfectly willing to dismiss as just another crackhead mayor. We've had them down here in the United States. Why wouldn't Canada have at least one? Canada is not unlike professional athletics here in America, a microcosm of our own country, you know. So whatever happens in America, it happens in Canada, only at a smaller scale, you know.
The only thing they have in Canada that seems to be equal to what we have are serial murderers.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, that thing we're seeing today.
We saw a thing today on television about some... They've got serial murderers up there that are creepier because these are the ones that live on farms, you know, and they have pickup trucks and...
Yeah, they're like Ed Gein.
They're like Ed Gein types up there. They're rural and weird, and they wear the funny hats, you know.
Yeah, well, they had that pig farmer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God! That pig farmer.
Yeah, they had a pig farmer up there, and they had another guy that I saw a story about. And that other guy, that Bernardo or whatever the hell.
Oh, that Paul and that Carla Homolka. What a... You talk about the devil's spawn. That woman got away with all kinds of murder. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, what was that guy, Paul Bernardino or some crap?
Paul San Bernardino.
It wasn't Paul San Bernardino, you nitwit. It was Paul Bernardi.
Yeah, something like that. And the girlfriend, and that guy was a serial murderer that worked on the in the suburban section, like Scarborough, suburban Toronto. And my aunt and my cousins were living out there when that creep was doing his thing. And that guy was some kind of messed up, man. And the girlfriend helped him. And then she turned state's evidence, and they cut a deal with her.
Yeah, and they let her go, and he's inside, and it turns out she's a piece of garbage, too.
Yeah, it turns out she was helping kill, too. So now, apparently, she's married, and she's in private life, and she's keeping her head, you know, she's just sort of... doing her thing, man. She's trying to keep her nose clean.
A lot of times, though, women, they get away from those guys, though.
You can't blame the guy. She's just as bad.
Well, you know, I agree. Sometimes the women, once they get away from these animals, and they turn back into ladies once they get away from the animal. But if they're with the animal, this Paul Bernardino or Paul San Bernardino, whatever it is.
Paul Bernardino, something like that, yeah.
Well, what is his name? Paul Bernardo?
Oh, that's it, Paul Bernardo.
No, Paul Bernardino.
No, Phil's right, it's Paul Bernardo.
Well, forget it, I don't even...
Why you say forget it?
I don't want to comment on a case. I can't even say what the guy's name is without sounding like I took one off the mouth or something. It sounds like I've got a...
All right, anyway, that's just one example of Canada in microcosm. The other may be American politics. Here is Rob Ford, and he's talking about America. He says, if you think American-style politics is nasty, you guys have just attacked Kuwait, he said to groans and laughter in the council chambers, and you'll never see something. Mark my words, my friends, this is going to be outright war in the next election, and I'm going to do everything in my power to beat you guys. Undeterred, the council voted 36-5 to slash the budget of the mayor's office and transfer most of his duties to the deputy mayor. City Councilor Karen Stint said Ford, quote, doesn't understand the issues he's facing, and Monday's vote reduces him to a figurehead. Why don't they just get rid of him?
Well, it's the way they do it up there. I don't know.
You was just up in Toronto. Did it look like everything was weird?
What do you mean I was just up in Toronto? Did it look like everything was weird?
Well, you were up there.
Yeah, I was up there. So what?
Well, what did it look like?
It looked like a city. What am I supposed to know what it's going to look like?
Well, it was Ford. Did you see him out of the streets? Was he had he gotten out of the chambers there and was out on the streets?
I didn't see anybody. I didn't see him. Why would I see anything?
You know, Phil, you're a guy. You were just in Toronto, and you're all, I don't know. What is it with you? All the quick answers, huh?
Hey, I don't know anything about the guy. I was up there in Canada, and I was visiting my relatives. I don't know. I never even heard of this cat. My question is, and it must be like you said, Margaret, the way they run things up there, how come this guy wasn't just taken out
and shot?
Not shot. Why isn't he just, removed from office? All right, we'll take a break. We're running late. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com, so we want you guys to make sure that you pick up a backstage pass, and that's going to give you access to all kinds of neat things on our website, our archives, our daily podcast, our classic podcast, and more. Back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. There was a plane crash in Russia, in Kazan, Russia. Video broadcast, and look at this, man. I didn't want them to show that just yet. I have the video here, and I don't really know what kind of audio we're going to get from it, but it's from Russian TV, and it is of this plane crashing. Let me see here. Yeah, it's just all it is it's a fireball. It's unbelievable. Unfortunately, the audio is just simply a background, but a video broadcast by Russian television shows a Russian plane going down at a near vertical angle and exploding on the tarmac in Kazan in a giant fireball. Sunday's crash in the central Russian city of Kazan killed all 50 people on board.
That's it there.
Yeah. And you can see it if you are online. Probably see stills from it. The brief video broadcast Monday by Russian television has been confirmed as authentic to the Associated Press by the Emergency Press Service at Kazan Airport. The video emerged as investigators were combing through the charred fragments. It was a Boeing 737 trying to determine the cause of the deadly crash. The plane belonging to Tatarstan Airlines was flying in from Moscow, 520 miles to the west, when it crashed while making its second attempt at a landing. Vertical, which is
straight up and down.
Straight up and down, man. The son of the provincial governor and the chief of the local branch of Russia's main security agency were among the victims. The plane, which was flying from Moscow, crashed while making a second attempt at landing, said Alexander Poltonen, the head of the local branch of Russia's investigative committee. He said the investigators are trying to determine why the crew couldn't land at first try. He said the investigators are looking into possible pilot error or an equipment failure. The video taken by, well, I guess that kind of sums it up. It's either one or the other. The video taken by an airport security camera that was posted on the Life News website showed the jet slamming into the ground at a very sharp angle and exploding in a giant fireball. The traffic controller at the airport, who contacted the plane before the crash, said the crew told him they weren't ready for landing as it was approaching, but they didn't specify the problem. Fragments of the plane littered the tarmac, and fire crews spent hours extinguishing the blaze. It'll take weeks, according to this article, to identify the remains of the victims. So that sucks. Plane crashes, they seem like they may be, I don't know, more spectacular now. It's only because we have all this video. I remember that plane, that Concorde that blew up, and that was a few years ago, but that was really a mind bender because it was the Concorde jet. It was that famous Concorde. It hasn't flown since. And it was taken off from Paris on its way, I guess, to New York. And it suddenly, apparently, it hit some debris, I think, on the runway. And that was the end of that. And I don't think it's flown since. World famous Phil Henry Show, our number 855-500-7445. So the other news story here, Margaret, is what?
Well, this is amazing, and I did want to get Bob. By the way, I want to bring Bobby Dooley on. She's going to be talking about these children that they've got. She's done a couple of her podcasts about this, problems with some of the kids at the community there sticking their tongue out at her. So
sticking their tongue out at who?
At Ms. Dooley. and she'll be on here in just a second. But I wanted to direct your attention to the story about some, because we were doing our slut hunt earlier, having to do with this woman that shot the lion. They've got a newly crowned slut.
Well, you look like you enjoy that.
Yes, I do. Some slut that won a slut competition in England.
That won a what?
Won a slut? She's a slut. See right there.
Here's the slut here.
Yeah, see?
But I'll do it, bud. You're pointing at the wrong woman.
That's the slut there.
That's the slut. And this slut...
Now, wait a minute. Why is she called a slut?
Because she proudly proclaims that she sleeps with three different men a week. Now, I don't know who these men are, and I would think for the safety of themselves and any future generation they hope to influence as either fathers or grandfathers, that they immediately now, get themselves to a medical clinic of some kind, get themselves to a medical doctor of some kind. Now.
What are you... God!
Margaret, we're not talking here about a national emergency.
We're talking about the health and safety of God knows thousands of men.
Thousands? Three men a week?
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil. So that's only 52 times three. Is that a... No, that's... Yes, that's 103. How many is that?
150 men a year?
Well, that's not that many, is it?
Well, no, you're right. I just... The way you were saying, you know, get yourself now.
I'm advising any young man that has slept with this thing.
Well, what's her name, man? We got to find out what her name is here. Alina Desain. She says, all my friends are the same. We're all just up for having a great time and going out. Uni life is 3 years to be wild before it starts settling down and it really flies by. She's talking about going to the university. And this is in England. Britain's horniest student. Latvian bags the title.
That's something else. The Latvians already have a bad reputation as animals, as thieves, as liars, as murderers.
Whoa, man.
You know something, Margaret? You want to watch that, because the Latvian people are some of the finest people.
Well, what do you care, General?
Maybe I know some Latvians. Maybe I'm trying to curry favor with some Latvians, and they turn on the radio and they listen to you bagging on them.
Are you really?
Maybe.
Well, what specifically are you doing?
That's none of your business. But I happen to know some Latvians, and I'm into some very interesting business propositions, and I don't want them turning the radio on and listening to you shooting your mouth off.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Latvians are well known as thugs and thieves, liars of the first order.
Yeah, you're spitting on me.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did. You spit on me, too.
What?
You're going thugs and thieves.
You just spit on me.
Well, I'm showing you what you did.
Margaret, I understand. You're messing around with things that you know nothing of. Believe me, you may think you know what's going on here, but you don't.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these Latvians I know aren't going to be smiling after they hear this show.
Wow, man.
Yeah, probably. Are you mobbed up or something?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Mobbed up with the Latvian mob, huh?
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm going to repeat what I said. These Latvians are the scum of the earth.
Margaret.
No. And this proves it. And this woman going out and infecting every man she sees. Oh, God. Frank, if I even hear you... Because I know Frank's traveling to England sometime in the near future. And if I even hear about you taking a side trip up to wherever this is...
I'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is that, a cow? Oh, that's Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're going to come back with more news to discuss. Oh, Bobby Dooley, right?
Yes.
Bobby Dooley will be on to talk about the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Apparently there's some smart-ass kids there that are sticking their tongue out.
Yes, I'll do it.
Be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. In a moment, we got Bobby Dooley on the line with us here. And this is a story that I've just been following myself. It's of marginal, I guess, it's been of, well, it's not marginal interest, but this family, the McStay family from Fallbrook, California, They've been missing since 2010, and their bodies were just found in the desert out in Riverside, somewhere out Riverside, San Bernardino, in the desert out there. After 3 years, this family gone. No one knew what happened to them. They thought they'd gone over the border to Mexico. They thought they had actual video surveillance of them at the pedestrian border crossing between the United States and Mexico. They really did. Even though there were family members that looked at that and said, no, that's not them, but it was of a man and a little boy and a woman and a little boy. Their car, their SUV, was found parked not far from the border. They themselves were found last week in shallow graves out in the desert here, 100 miles north of Fallbrook, just due east of Los Angeles. Now, the graves they were found in were shallow. They were dug, obviously, and two people each were laid in these two separate graves. And I look at stuff like that, and I just wonder, you know, the first thing I think about is the most mundane thing sometimes is the thing that happened. The most mundane and undramatic and unexceptional thing is oftentimes the thing that happened. For instance, when we say, like, remember the guy that everybody thought the UFO had abducted, and turns out his car just went off the bridge.
Oh, the man that was found in the river.
The guy that was found in the aqueduct, yeah. They're like, they didn't know what happened to him, and months went by, and did the was he kidnapped by the FBI, and maybe it was the script he was working on, and you know, and blah, 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 all this stuff. And no, the guy fell asleep, and his car went off the road, and he went into the aqueduct, and that's where they found him. And this family, it's like somebody knew them, man. Somebody prepared these graves and wanted to kill them. I wonder if it was someone. It could be like a guy that worked for them, some worker. I don't know. But there's a whole article here about a radio host named Rick Baker. The dude is also an author. He wrote a book called No Goodbyes, The Mysterious Disappearance of the McStay Family. And this is an article about him that might be interesting. Bobby Dooley is going to join us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ms. Dooley is going to talk with us here about... Now, what am I hearing here? Is that line two?
Line three.
Okay, Ms. Dooley is on the line with us here from Western Estates Homeowners Association. Sorry, Ms. Dooley, you there?
Yes,
You have Margaret was telling me that you have a little boy out there. Is it the Waddington family?
Well, there's a couple of them that we've noticed that we've put some of the adults on alert about. But I did do one of our podcasts, the Bobby Dooley podcast that we do every night, Phil, for air, for podcasting, I guess, or...
Will it be for download?
It's for what?
For download.
Yeah, for download.
You're not going to download.
No, they mean download on the computer. My husband Steve is here, Phil.
Yeah. Hi, Steve, how you doing?
Good, hi.
Hey, hi.
Yes, sir. So tell me, what is the problem?
Well, we've had some children here that apparently are taking the liberty... because they're empowered by their parents, and I think they're not very well disciplined, to do what I call the moose ears, and we, as I said, we did a podcast about it. It's the moose ear, and they pull their cheeks out and stick their tongue out.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I said it looked like a, you
know. Okay, you might have said that on the podcast, you can't say that here.
I'm sorry.
You can't say that here. You're going to have to use another word.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Steve.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Steve.
It's okay, Mr. Dooley. I just, you know.
Well, when they pull their cheeks out and stick their tongue out. Now, what is that? I mean, it's obvious to me. It should be obvious to anyone what they're saying.
It's a little 9-year-old kid. You know, are you telling me that there's some...
Well, no. I'm just saying that when they do that, it's absolutely disrespectful to a female. Let me put it that way.
So if they did that to a man, it wouldn't have as much of meaning?
No. Are you kidding? They're going,
yeah, Mr. Henry, you got to understand, a kid's pulling his cheek out and going, boo, like that. So that's right away.
No, I know. I don't understand that. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, what's the point of us?
Just go ahead, Bobby. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it.
Well, the other kid, okay, so there's that one. Then there's, now that one is a little boy by the name of Danny Waddington. The other is the daughter of Archibaldo Nimitz and his wife Barbara. Now they're expecting. Their daughter did the same thing. She was, I was at one of the homes. I was talking to Sandy Fuller about our steering committee for a Wintertacular, and I was standing at her front door and we were chatting. And this little Nimitz girl walked by and pushed her nose up so she looked like a farm, like a farm pig. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, when a little kid pushes their nose up?
Yeah, I mean, it was very pig-like.
Yeah, and she pushed her nose up and went, "Hi, Mrs. Dooley," like that. So I immediately went to their home and I said, "I don't know if you're in control of your daughter or not, but she just walked by me," and I demonstrated it. I pushed my nose up, and Barbara Nimitz laughs. And I said, "Thank you very much. You'll be hearing from our attorney."
Whoa, Bobby, hold on for a minute.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry.
Well, tell him, dear.
Yes, I went over there to say your daughter is out of control, and I pushed my nose up to demonstrate.
Well, it was bound to look funny.
Excuse me. So, the woman goes, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." You approve of that?
I think if you push your nose up, I'm looking at myself right now in the camera.
And you're pushing your nose up on camera?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I'm, it looks funny.
Well, all right, forget it. Let me move on to my next topic then.
What? Before you do, what is it that you're looking to do?
I'm looking to have these children reprimanded, and if possible, to be remanded to Western State Security for a very mild form of corporal punishment, but one that is administered by our security branch, with me overseeing it.
Yes, and tell them, because I think it's very it's unusual, but it could do a lot of good, Phil.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that these kids are spanked by your security people there?
With me overseeing it.
Yeah, but Jerry, see, they wouldn't do nothing without my wife being there.
Yes, with me overseeing it. And all it is they use a ruler, a standard ruler or yardstick, on the backs of the thighs.
No. No way.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. No way. If the parents give their approval.
No way. I can't imagine any parent giving their approval.
Well, they will if they don't want their homeowners association fees to go up, Phil. So, you know, you're in over your head.
Phil, I think this is something that's worth looking at.
Wait, hold on. I'm in over my head?
You're in over your head, Phil. It's out of your hands.
Phil, it's really out of your hands now. The kid pushed her nose up. The other one went, "Ew." See, this is what he does.
No, I know. I've listened to the shows. I've heard your frustration.
This is what he does. When he can't get his way, it turns into a...
I mean, you're talking about smacking these kids, not their parents, the security people at Western States, with you overseeing it, Bobby, with a yardstick or a ruler on the back of the thighs, because they pushed the nose up into a pig face and went, "Ew."
No, they didn't. Would you please demonstrate it, Margaret?
Yes, Phil, what they did was the little boy walked up, pulled his cheeks out, so what does that look like? And then went, "Ew." So.
Yeah, it was like a slit face.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then what was the other one?
Well, the other one was the pig. They pushed the nose up.
Push it. Here, I'll do it.
Yeah, it's funny.
No, you mean that I don't think. Are you going to tell me this is a trying now?
Yeah, it's funny looking.
In funny looking.
You can pull your nose down now, Margaret.
It's funny looking.
Yes, it's funny looking.
I don't even know if I can go on with this.
I think that you really need to get educated on this issue because it's widespread. It's getting worse.
What is the issue? Little kids not respecting homeowners association presidents?
To the extent, Phil, that they're pushing their noses up and going, "Hi, Mrs. Dooley, ha ha," they think nothing of basically saying that I look like some kind of a skullhead alien. I'm sorry, I'm...
All right, and then you had another issue, if you don't mind. Tell you what, let's take a break. You had another issue with Mr. Nimitz himself.
No, we have an issue with the fact that they're expecting, and we...
All right, let's hold the phone here.
Phil, you need to be a little bit more sensitive to these things.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm not. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're at 855-500-7445 as Bobby Dooley and Margaret here tell us about the couple of kids that are out of control there at Western Estates with the pig face and everything. Coming up next, we'll hear about Mr. Nimitz and his wife expecting. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, reminding you, we have a Saturday bonus show available for download at philhenryshow.com. We did a little bit of history talk. Speaking of that, I will be appearing on Drunk History on Comedy Central in the near future, also at the San Francisco Sketch Fest in late January, and other things to report and announce and have fun with as we move forward. And a heads up that, as is traditional, on the Phil Henry Show, we do take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. We will have magnificent radio shows to air there for you. And we will be doing video casts throughout the week. Not long ones, but we'll be checking in with you guys by way of our video cast. Also, videos from the road. I'm thinking that I'm either going to go to D.C. or San Francisco during that week, but we'll let you know what's up. World-famous Phil Henry Show here. Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray on the line with me talking about issues there at Western Estates having to do with the homeowners. And I understand, and this was the subject of a podcast you're doing, Bobby, the children sort of getting out of hand. Now, this Nimitz family.
Yes.
Are they? They're a prominent family.
Well, yes. Archibaldo Nimitz is. I think Margaret can address this.
He's a very prominent composer-arranger here in Los Angeles.
In the music business.
In the music business, yes.
And they just purchased in our Yucca phase, which is at the very top of Rinaldo Drive. It is a cul-de-sac, prized lot, 3 acres. And they have their daughter that I told you did the pig face. Now I find that Barbara is pregnant. I went to them with my concerns last Friday. I went empowered with a letter from the Homeowners Association Executive Council, and I was empowered by a general yay or nay vote of a quorum of our homeowners.
Now tell them what the vote was on.
Yeah, well, the vote was simply this. Given the fact that they have this child that feels... safe to walk around and just shove their nose up so they look, like skull man or something. And when she said Mrs. Dooley, ha ha ha, it was obvious that she was trying to approximate. I think she was sending the message and sending it very clearly. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
That's all right, dear. Do you want me to?
Please.
We feel, and in hearing Bobby, that this little girl is sending the message very clearly that Bobby looks to her like a skullhead alien or something like that. You see?
Okay.
Well, what do you mean, okay?
Well, what is the... if you don't mind, Margaret.
Go ahead.
What is the issue? This is a child, and little children are going to make skull faces or what have you.
Exactly.
If I could, Phil.
Go on, General.
When I was, we were at Fort Benning, I was a young captain at the time, and there was a little boy that would go by our house. You know, we had base housing at the time, and I was there with Karen, and we were expecting our first, which was Jeff, and this little kid would go by and push her nose up and look like Pig Boy or something, and sometimes she'd do the whole moosier thing with the blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yes.
All right, well, you just sounded like Miss Dooley there.
Yes, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was going there, and I was afraid that my wife, Karen, would be scared, Phil, into giving birth to something that looked like what these kids were doing. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about something that I think is known to medical professionals, if you go by a pregnant woman and you're pushing your nose up like some little punk, like these kids were doing, or going, or pulling the cheeks out, that you'll scare the woman enough so that it influences what the kid looks like. Why are you looking at me like...
I think both of you, you and Margaret, and excuse me, Ms. Dooley, I should say the three of you, are way out there. I don't hear what you're saying. It sounds like science fiction, and I'm not buying it.
You're not buying what? You're not... Are you saying that I'm nuts? Now, I can understand that you'd say Dooley and Gray are.
Yeah, you're nuts. What you're saying is even weirder than them. That if you scare a pregnant woman making a face, the kid's going to come out looking like that.
That's what I heard. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. God almighty.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, General.
All right, fine, I'm wrong. Sheesh. You may have a cow over the thing.
Well, I would think it wouldn't take a discussion on a radio show for you to figure that out.
Yeah, that sounds really jacked up, General. Where are you coming from?
Where am I coming from? You're the one that's getting... All right, let's get back to what you wanted to say about Mr. Nimitz.
Yes, Archibaldo Nimitz is a brilliant man, but I did go to their home armed with a letter of intent empowered by a quorum vote. And I said to him, Mr. Nimitz, your ears and your nose are very prominent, and really what I should have said is they are very big. Now, I've done a lot of interior design, Phil, and so I used interior decorator lingo. Okay?
Yes, that I understand what you mean, Bobby.
Yeah, I said to him, and I said to his wife, that your husband's ears and his nose overwhelm his face. And she immediately got it. She said, because I'm talking, women to women always do well, Phil. It's when the men stick their big fat, in the case of Mr. Nimitz, his really big fat nose in, that things get destroyed. I said, you know, and she said, really? I said, yeah, his nose and his ears are just disregarding his face entirely. They're dismissing his head. And so, yes?
I'm sorry. What does that mean? I don't...
It's interior design talk, Phil.
Yeah. It's something that we, as interior decorators, we use this.
His ears and his nose are dismissing his head.
You know something, Bobby? Every time Phil asks questions like this, he's getting ready to be a smartass.
No, I know. I'm very familiar with the technique. I've been around Mr. Hendry.
I'm not getting ready to... But wait a minute. Anybody listening to the show right now are wondering what you guys mean when you say his ears and his nose are so big they dismiss his head.
It's as if the ears and the nose have said to the head, you don't even make a difference. You don't...
It's as if they're saying you don't even register.
Exactly, yes.
All right, and what are they supposed to do with that information?
What they're supposed to do with the information, and this is why I came empowered with a letter, we think it's a bad idea that they have this child, because if that's the way he looks, and they've got a daughter that's already done the pig face and could very well be influencing the looks of that child because of the whole, well, I forget what she did.
She's the one with the pig face.
Yeah. We think that it's not a good idea for them to have this child.
So you're, and this is something I've heard you do before, Ms. Dooley.
Mr. Henry, don't be so dramatic.
No, you're gonna advise this family to abort based upon the possibility that the baby is going to be born with ears and a nose that overwhelm.
Go ahead and laugh if you will, Phil, but when you've got a baby who's got a nose and a pair of ears that completely disregard the head and want to go their own way...
Yeah. This is a child that needs to have every advantage. And a nose and two ears that are heading off in their own direction.
And what about the pig face?
What about it?
You don't even answer. He's being a smartass.
I'm done.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm done. Thank
you. You started it, mister.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Phil...
Don't Will Phil me. Don't Will Phil me, okay?
Well, maybe we were hasty, Phil.
No, we're not hasty about anything. You have the gall to go to someone's home and advise them to abort their unborn child because the kid may come out with a big nose and big ears, and because the little girl's making a pig face. Well, hell, that must mean that the baby... You're not only talking like crazy people... Okay, you ought to be, she ought to be sued.
You said you, you mean me?
No, no, but I if I were you, I'd stay clear. I'd stay really clear of Dooley and her antics. Going up to that house and tell them to abort their child because it may come out with ears and a nose that disregard the head. To the distance.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Hendry.
Go ahead. Be a baby if you want. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 o'clock Pacific.